Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 25th day of November, Friday, 2022. And tonight we have, of course, ready to rumble on the board, the protector and our producer, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And right here, live in the studio with us tonight, we have none other than our tech warrior, Ron Hertz.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder, my mic's too loud? Okay. Turn your mic up. It's too low.
Mine is too low?
Yeah.
How's that?
Down.
How's that?
All right, there you go.
All right.
This is live radio, folks. And meanwhile, while this is going on, we have the well-known man who has been infamous as being the chaplain and the co-founder of Crops for Christ International, and that great speaker, author, and hero of the faith, Chaplain John McTernan.
Well, Pastor Ernie, I can agree with everything you said, but infamous.
infamous and to the opposition, anyhow, right?
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, you nailed it today.
Yeah, there you go.
You're in a good mood. I can tell you're in a good mood by the way you acknowledge me. I can see what kind of a show we're going to have.
Well, I just did that because I'm bound to do something bad to you later, and this way I won't feel so bad.
Yeah, that's funny.
All right. Okay, very good. Now, and myself, I'm Pastor Ernie Sanders, your humble host and their hero. That's what else can I say, right? And so now I want to say I hope you all had a blessed Thanksgiving. And we had some of our prayers have been answered, and we were able to help some folks out who otherwise would not have had a good Thanksgiving. They would have spent it alone, and because of all you good people out there listening to us on the radio, you went to the aid of those people who were lonely, injured, sick, and so they did have a good Thanksgiving, and I praise the good Lord for that. And so also, I wanted to say tonight, before we really get going, you know, every now and then, John, you know that we a business that does exceptional business, that gives you really good service, I always like to give them, you know, a heads up. We've done that over the past for Newberry Printing, always done a good job. And there on Route 87 in Newberry. Also, with the Iron Man, who has a special type of hardware store, does great, gives you, you know, good service. These are small mom-and-pop operations that always but gives you good service. And tonight, I want to say, I want to give a heads up out there to DNS Cakes. DNS Cakes, the Sweet Cafe, and especially to a young lady named Juliana. Juliana, who I went in there today, and she was just a bubbly personality, a pretty young woman, and she started telling me right away that she attended a Christian high school, and I happened to be very well aware of the Christian high school. It was Agape Christian High School, and the Russ and Sue, the founders, have been dear friends of mine for many, many years, and so I want to just say a heads up to the food was delicious. We went in there. I thought it was just a cake shop. I hadn't been in there before, and so as we went in, I noticed it said sandwiches and soup, and so we sat down and had a really good meal, and it was the prices were good too. Okay, let me get into the message tonight. The title of the message was Give Thanks to the Lord, and we're going to pick it up where we left off in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15, and Ron, you read verses 1 through 10, and John, you pick it up in 11 through 16.
Or 6 through 10?
Yeah, 6 through 10, yeah.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
John, you want to pick it up?
Yeah. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, and the circumcision of Christ. Excuse me. Flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
All right, very good. Going back to verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted up and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abundant therein with thanksgiving. Was Paul continuously touting the Lord Jesus' deity? He's referring to the deity of our Lord. Paul was always talking about the Lord Jesus being not only the Son of God, but God the Son. Then he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Was the Apostle Paul known at that time as a great philosopher?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, he would debate the
man.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, he was a brilliant man, and I think of Acts chapter, is it 17?
Yeah.
He was on Mars Hill.
Yeah.
And he was debating the philosophers at that time about the unknown God. So that shows that he had the skills.
Was that in Greece?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that they always did is they considered their wisdom. On Sundays, they didn't watch football games. They would gather at the pavilion, and they would give these long, eloquent speeches, trying to impress each other with their philosophy. And Paul really had, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he asked them, "Is there not a wise man among you?" Boy, that had to hit home. So he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you with philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So what do you think he meant about the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world?
Well, the tradition of men, I could see it's in the educational system and just following philosophy and all of that. And it's there. It's emptiness, Pastor. It's interesting with philosophy. One generation is promoting one thought, and then the next generation proves it's wrong and promotes something else, and it keeps on going, just generation after generation.
Isn't that what that word vain in the Greek means? It means empty. Yeah. Empty deceit,
empty,
huh?
Yeah.
Well, what about the rudiments? That word was principles, basic principles. What would have been some of the basic principles and the rudiments? Who did the Greeks believe that there was a lot of different gods, didn't they?
Yeah, when you had mentioned he went to Greece to debate them, it's pretty phenomenal that he was actually able to hold his own without getting stoned, because they had so many gods, and the Greeks thought that their world was it.
They actually thought Paul was a god. They were going to make him a god. Okay, and he said, "We are men like you," and it wasn't just Paul. I think Barnabas was with him, I believe. Okay, but
well,
yeah,
you see what he opened up on, Pastor Ernie. Was on Mars Hill, there was a place for the unknown God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who Paul was addressing, the unknown God. And he turned them to the Lord as the unknown God.
And that's what he referred to, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Again, he's referring to his deity. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Also, you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. So what do you think he was talking about, the circumcision made without hands?
He was talking about the circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit.
Right, the conversion by the Holy Spirit. And so at this time, all the Jews were required under the law to be circumcised. But now this no longer is the case. Now, we're not required to be circumcised. We do it for health reasons, don't we? It's for reasons of cleanliness. Now, he goes on and says, in putting of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, so putting off the sins of the flesh. So when we receive Christ as our Savior, are our sins, when we repent of our sins, are they forgiven?
Yes.
How many of them?
All.
For how long?
Forever.
Into eternity.
Past, present, and future, huh? So he's making that reference there. Then he says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So what type of baptism is he referring to? He's referring to a particular type of baptism, that you're buried with him in baptism and then raised up. It's not through sprinkling, right?
Right.
So in every single case in the New Testament, was anyone ever baptized other than immersion?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, and other than immersion. Who was baptized other than immersion? In other words...
No. When we get to Acts chapter 1, it talks about being baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about being baptized when you were, when the physical aspect, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Water baptism.
Water baptism, yeah. Mm-hmm. So was there at any time anyone ever baptized other than by immersion?
I can't think of any.
No, it's because there wasn't. In every single case, you have people were baptized, one, on their profession of faith. On their profession, was there, you won't find any other than they were baptized on their profession of faith, and you won't find other any other than those were baptized by immersion. So if people don't realize certain things, how do we know which is the right way to do it? How do we know, for example, when we die, should we how should we get buried? What do they do nowadays, mostly?
Either buried in the cemetery or cremation.
Okay, so was there any, and all through the Bible, cremation was used as what? It was a way of disrespecting and dishonor,
yeah,
and desecration, okay? So if we want to know the right way to do things, then we look at what they did in the Bible. So everybody in the Bible died, they were buried, right? Everybody that was baptized were baptized on their profession of faith, and they were baptized by immersion. So did they know what they were doing back then?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's easy for me, right? Okay, so here you go. He goes on. Through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What do you think he meant about those handwriting of ordinances that were against us?
I would say that's the law, the law.
Absolutely,
Moses.
It's the law. So what did the law do? Did the law justify us, or did the law find us, condemn us?
Well, Paul says the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. It shows that we couldn't live up to God's standards. We needed a Savior.
So the only thing the law could do for us is condemn us, tell us that, look, we could not find salvation apart from Christ, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Obama doesn't know that.
He doesn't know a lot of things.
Yeah, George Soros doesn't know that. And so you go on here.
George Soros thinks he's a god.
He's God, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Remember, Oprah too. Yeah, she says she's the source of her own salvation. And so he goes on to say, which was contrary, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities, okay. Who do you think he's talking about? Spoiled the principalities and powers. Actually, that's got two applications right there. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So who did these people in Colossians? They worshipped angels. Some of them, they were worshiping angels, and so did. Did Christ have authority over the angels?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, but also now, remember when he was buried, and upon his tomb on the rock, they cordoned it off. They put a seal upon that, and in order anyone could break that seal. If anyone that broke that seal had to die, if they couldn't do that, then whoever put that seal up on there had no authority. They lost their authority. And so what happened when Christ arose? What happened to the stone in front of the sepulcher?
Was rolled away. It was rolled open.
So the seal was broken. So what did that say about Christ's authority over the government?
Yeah, he was showing his resurrection power was greater than the Roman government.
Yeah. And, boy, we don't know too much. We don't hear much about those Romans nowadays, but everybody's still talking about the Lord Jesus, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Will Christ stand before Pilate again, or the next time will Pilate be standing before Christ?
Pilate will be standing before Christ.
And it's not going to go good for him, will it?
It's not going to be as bad as a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees, though.
Yeah. He had the opportunity to do the right thing, but he didn't. But the Lord Jesus said, if it were not given to you from above, you'd have no power over me at all, right?
Correct.
Okay. We're going to stop right there, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to play a clip. And then when we come back, it's about the speaker, the new speaker of the House, and what is being bandied about right now in Congress. So take us to the break.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. Some city schoolyards, when bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take the red, white, and blue.
with Congressman Bob Good of the 5th District of Virginia. Sir, we did that cold open, and the clip we were going to finish with was Marjorie Taylor Greene making the argument for McCarthy that people are playing with fire, and that would be Matt Gaetz, Ralph Norman, and particularly yourself. So I think you've been probably the most articulate and, you know, kind of out front of this, of saying no way can Kevin McCarthy be Speaker. You just saw there, you know, you've got Comer on offense, you've got Judiciary on offense, you got Kevin McCarthy at the border saying he's going to be impeaching Mayorkas, he's shutting down the border. You got MTG in his corner, she's the firebrand. What is it about this new Kevin McCarthy that you don't like, sir?
Well, when I was told when I first ran for Congress in 2020, I had hundreds of constituents, voters, people in my district beg me not to support Kevin McCarthy for Speaker. I came in as a new freshman, thought there might be a leadership challenge. There was none. Everybody supported him by acclamation to be minority leader. And I said what I would do. I would judge him based on what he did in my first 2 years in Congress. And then I would assess that his leadership or lack thereof when we voted again at the end of my first term. But as I've watched these last 2 years, I would ask you, what about what Kevin McCarthy has done as minority leader would give you the confidence that he's the person to stand up and fight against the Biden-Schumer agenda that we're going to be fighting against in the new Congress, that he's the one who's going to have nerves of steel, who's not going to give in and not get rolled by Biden and Schumer, and he's going to do what he hasn't done for 2 years. You know, for 2 years, we have begged him to lead. We begged him to hold all Republicans together and standing against giving any votes to the Democrat agenda, the radical agenda that's hurting America. And so now you see at the border, Steve, I've been to the border 5 times in my first 2 years in Congress. I believe it is the number one threat to the country. We've had 5 million illegals invade the country. But here he said just even, and I think he's there as a result of us mounting a challenge to his speakership. He said we may impeach Mayorkas, not that we will impeach Mayorkas. I'm already on impeachment articles for Mayorkas, on a couple of different impeachment articles against Mayorkas. Never in the history of the country, Steve, has our own president done more to intentionally harm the United States than what Biden has done in the first 2 years. Untold harm has been done. If we sealed the border tomorrow, the 4 million who we've let in and the 1 million illegal gotaways, the ones who, as you know, don't want to be ID'd, they don't want to be fingerprinted, they don't want to be background checked, what kind of terrorist criminal ties, what kind of nefarious intent? If we're 1% successful in vetting them, we'd have 10,000 very dangerous actors. You think, I'm sorry, if we were 99% effective and 1% were bad actors of the 1 million gotaways, that would be 10,000 highly dangerous people. So what we've got to do, and what McCarthy has not committed to do, is we're going to defund a government that does not secure its border, that we're going to use the power of the purse when we have the majority, that we're going to refuse to continue to fund a government that does not secure its border. We're giving Mayorkas $60 billion, Steve, to not secure the border. That's the kind of leadership that we need from someone who will represent the conservative center of the Congress, that once we realize and come to grips with the fact that McCarthy is not going to be Speaker, we can consider other candidates who represent the conservative voters who sent us to Washington to do what they sent us to do, and Kevin McCarthy is not that person.
The mainstream media and the left is saying, hey, everybody's got to come together now. We all have to work together, although they didn't want to do that for the first 2 years. We all have to work together to stem inflation and to work, you know, help the economy and to work with Joe Biden. What's your problem? What is your problem with that? What is your problem with now the mainstream media saying we ought to have nothing but unity and kind of have a group hug, sir?
Well, it's funny. When I was elected 2 years ago, we were told, oh, we've all got to be unified. We've all got to support the anointed leadership slate. We can't have any competition. We just got to have a coronation for leadership because we're so close to getting the majority, and we got to focus on getting the majority in 2022. As you know, Steve, if we had a red wave and we picked up 40, 50, 60 seats, we would be told, oh, we picked up so many seats. We got to support the anointed leadership slate. Now, because we barely have a majority, we're told, oh, now's not the time to have a competition for leadership. We've just got to support the anointed leadership slate. And you tell me on what basis, Steve, if you were looking at the 220 members of Congress based on the merits, based on their skills, their qualities, their leadership demonstration, that you would settle on Kevin McCarthy at the expense of the other 219 or so Republicans. We need someone who represents the conservative center of the conference. We need somebody who will truly stand up, fight with nerves of steel. We need someone who will hold every Republican accountable to fight against the Schumer-Biden agenda. We didn't have that in the minority. There's no way we're going to have that in the majority. And there are more than enough of us who are resolved not to vote for him that we need to get past the denial that of the reality that he's going to be Speaker, and to consider other quality candidates who will raise their hands and say they'd like to be Speaker once it's clear that it's not going to be Kevin McCarthy. We ought to do that before January 3rd so we do not have to deny him on the first ballot, which we will do. If we don't come together as a conference and unite around other quality candidates who can get to 218, which Kevin McCarthy cannot do, then we'll have to vote him down on the House floor and go to a second or third ballot like we did 100 years ago, and we'll come up with a better Speaker. In the short term, Steve, this is about getting a stronger Speaker, a better Speaker who reflects the will of the voters. All Republicans have been hearing for the last 2 years from their constituents, do not support Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. It's hundreds to one in terms of who asks you to support Kevin McCarthy versus who asks you not to from the base who elected us. But so in the short term, it's about getting a better Speaker. But in the long term, Steve, it's about breaking up the swamp cartel, defeating a system in the Republican Party that's hostile to conservatives, that spends millions of dollars in primaries trying to defeat conservatives and trying to elect nominees who are loyal to the crown, so to speak, and also to defeat a swamp, a Republican swamp in the Congress that is hostile to the power of regular members, the people's representatives, to really bring true change to the country, true change to Congress, and to save the republic from the oppressive, radical Biden-Schumer-Pelosi regime.
Congressman, if you were to vote for McCarthy, would your constituents that just reelected you, would they be furious at you?
I think that's true of all Republicans who vote for McCarthy. I guarantee you, Steve, that since we've returned for the Thanksgiving break, if you will, Republicans all across the country are hearing from their constituents, begging them to stand with us to bring true change to Congress, to bring true change to the country, and to reject Kevin McCarthy as leader, as Speaker. There's no question about that. Again, I've had hundreds tell me over the last 2 years not to support him, and I've literally had one person in the 3 years since I announced my first run for Congress ask me to support Kevin McCarthy as leader or as Speaker. And I'm certain that's true of every other Republican that was just elected, the freshmen coming in, as well as those who were reelected. You know, we are the people's representatives. We are there to exercise their wishes. We're here to fight for them. And we need leadership that reflects what they elected us to do. They gave us 5 million more votes, as you know, in this last election, the greatest representation of where the people are. As we know, it's not the presidential election. It's not the Senate. But what part of our national electorate is truly reflective of where the people are? It's the House of Representatives. And they gave us 5 million more votes than they gave the Democrats for a reason. And we need to fight for the things that they sent us to Washington to fight for.
Congressman, we asked you to stay through the break. I got a minute here. Leave the personalities aside. What would be Bob Good's agenda that he wants to see in this new Congress, or the two or three things you think have to happen?
Yeah, first of all, we've got to use the power of the purse not to fund the government. We are the most powerful branch of government, if we will use it, not to fund a government that continues the COVID vaccine mandate for any of its citizens, let alone its military, that does not secure the border, that continues the war on American energy, where we surrender our national economic security. So we've got to use the power of the purse, number one. Number two, we have got to use every power at our disposal to reduce the spending and to save the country from a fiscal standpoint. We've got to return to 2019 spending at a minimum, where we are, you know, before we ramped up spending under the China virus justification, where we spent $10 trillion in new spending in the first 2 years of a presidential term. That's never happened in the history of the country. We've got to restore fiscal sanity to the country and reduce spending.
All righty, we are back. And all right, Big John McTernan, commentary from you, because I know that this is something you've been very concerned about.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, this was really, really encouraging. I had not come across of that. I was not. This is the first time I've heard this congressman. His last name is Good.
Yeah.
Is that his last name, Pastor Ernie?
Uh-huh. Yep.
So this was really encouraging, because we don't need many congressmen there to deny McCarthy, and he's not going to make it.
Well, I feel it's my responsibility to encourage you, And I'm glad that's happened tonight. Now, we have to, let me think, because I got a couple of questions about this. I agree with what you said, but here's what I don't understand. If you were to ask me which one would it be, and you can jump in on this too, Ron, who would I choose to be the speaker? I would start off with Jim Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan.
Jim Jordan is the most active congressman. Then I would go to Matt Gaetz, Louie Gohmert, okay? Now, the strange, and even the, I kind of like the Margaret Green, you know, Margaret Taylor. But now, here, the strange thing is that both Jim Jordan, who's the most active congressman, and Marjorie Taylor Greene both endorsed McCarthy. How did that happen? What's going on?
Oh, no, I have no idea, Pastor Ernie. I have no idea.
No, it doesn't make sense, does it?
No. Politics is, I mean, I don't know. It's a necessary evil until the Lord returns.
So
you don't have the government on his shoulders and everything will be done right.
I mean, do you think McCarthy might have had a serious change of heart saying, look, I've got it. We've got it. You know, we're in trouble. We've got to really, this time, we got to get rid of the rhinos. Do you think maybe that might have come to him in mind? Now, speaking of that, here, folks, there's something very, very serious that we need to take care of tonight. And we only have a couple hours between now and then, tomorrow morning and Monday morning, because Monday morning, they're going to vote, and the vote is going to be on what they call the Respect for Marriage Act. And the Respect for Marriage Act is exactly the opposite of respect. It's the Disrespect for Marriage Act. It's the Disrespect for Marriage Act. And what they want to do is soil the first divine institution that God gave us, the marriage and the family, and desecrate it. By saying that they recognize the marriage of sodomites as being a divine institution of the marriage. Well, God's word, the Bible, and God always knows what he's talking about, don't he? God says it's not only is a fornication, John, but it's not only is it's repulsive, but it's an abomination. It's abomination and it's vile. That's what God says. And so here you've got these 12 senators, Republican senators, that think they know better than God. And they've decided they're going to vote to legitimize what God says is an unclean thing. Now, folks, here's what you need to do. First of all, I'm going to give this number out several times, but you got to do it tomorrow. They don't answer. They won't answer the phone, but you can leave a message. You can leave a message. The number is 202-225-3121. That's the Senate switchboard. When you call that, they just say, give them the name of the senator, and they'll put you through to their answering machine. Unless they've gotten so many calls, you know, and this happens at times when they're getting a lot of calls. And I talked, when I was talking to Portman's office, they told me they were getting flooded with calls, okay? And so and that's why we really got to go. And so the number is 202-225-3121, 202-225-3121. That's the U.S. Senate switchboard. Here are the 12 rhinos. These are the 12 rhinos that want to turn God's first divine institution into something vile and unclean. Mitt Romney, he's up for election in 2024. Shelley Moore Capito, she's up for election in 2026. Susan Collins is up for election in 2026. Cynthia Loomis, up for re-election in 2026. Dan Sullivan, up for re-election, and I think that's in Arkansas, I believe. 2026. Or no, is that Alaska? I think Sullivan's for Alaska.
I'm not sure.
2026. Tom Tillis, North Carolina.
That's a surprise.
He's up for re-election in 2026. Here's another surprise for you. Ready? Joni Ernst. Joni Ernst. She's up for election in 2026. Lisa Murkowski. That's no,
no
surprise.
No surprise there.
Lisa Murkowski, that's Alaska, too. She's re-elected in 2022. Was re-elected.
Yeah,
she was just recently. So she won't be up for 2028. Todd Young in Indiana, he was re-elected in 2022, so he's the same thing. Roy Blunt from Missouri, he's retiring at the end of this year. Richard Burr from North Carolina, he's retiring at the end of this year. And, of course, Rob Portman from Ohio, he's retiring at the end of this year. You need to call these senators and let them know, look, folks, don't, you know, do you want to be known as the last thing, one of the last bills you voted on was to defile and make unclean the first divine institution that God gave us? Is that what you want to be known for? Is that your legacy? So, folks, just give them a call. You got to do it. You got, because they're going to vote on a Monday, and you can still call in Monday morning early and get their office, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I was always, before cell phones, they still had that same area code, 202. You would think even back then they would have an 800 number, but that would make it too easy for people to call, so they don't really don't want to hear us. But at least with cell phones, there's really no long-distance charge.
Absolutely. Now, check this out. Joe Biden, guess where Joe Biden ate yesterday? Joe Biden dines at a restaurant in Nantucket, Massachusetts. And John, tell me if this is appropriate name for the Brotherhood of Thieves. Brother, he ate at a restaurant in Nantucket called the Brotherhood of Thieves for his Thanksgiving weekend, as he spent $30 million in Nantucket, Massachusetts, this Thanksgiving weekend.
I think it's absolutely perfect and ironic, but yeah, that's where he belongs. That's a perfect place for him.
Well, let me ask you this, because now, you know, Fox News was doing a big thing tonight and talking about how Joe Biden, now listen to this, that Joe Biden and the Biden crime cartel is actually aiding and abetting. They're actually working with the drug cartels and the human smugglers. And they talked extensively about these little children, all of these little children that are being used for organ. They're taking their organs, organ harvesting. And
then pedophilia.
Pedophilia. And where did you hear 2 years ago that the Biden crime family was working, they were the gatekeepers for the drug cartels and for the human smugglers? Where did you hear that 2 years ago?
Well, we discussed that right here, Pastor Ernie.
We certainly did. We were telling people. And so finally now Fox News finally tells you about it. You know, they think, well, maybe because they're seeing what's happening with the laptop, the information, it looks like they're going to go after Biden. Now, Biden, they're a crime cartel. They're a crime family, okay?
You know what, though? I think cartel is better, because when you call them a crime family, it impugns the good name and integrity of the Don Vito Corleone family.
Yeah,
well, so you don't want to do that.
Yeah. So, but what's happening now, I can't see how the Biden crime cartel is going to sit still and let them impeach him and bring charges against him. He is totally lawless. So what do you think he's going to do, John?
Pastor Ernie, that's the mystery. We've been talking about this from a couple months before the election. They must be desperate now. False flags, Pastor Ernie? I don't know. Call in every chip that they have, and they can't stop it now, short of some sort of maybe violence.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's probably my guess is the spotlight's on the FBI, And from what I hear now, they have over 100 now whistleblowers from the FBI. They're jumping ship. They're seeing the FBI is going down. And so do you think the FBI will still be able to do its illegal covert activities, against the American people?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to who the Speaker of the House is and who's on the committees and how far they want to pursue it. So if it's just another lame duck like Paul Ryan or Boehner, it'll be business as usual.
Well, McCarthy, people believe that's exactly what he would be. But I don't know if Jim Jordan, because Jim Jordan's, you know, I've always thought of him as being, very, very intelligent, very in the know, okay, and a good judge of character. And so when I see that, and then also that Marjorie Taylor Greene, I looked upon her, as being real little firebrand. So I'm wondering, what is it that McCarthy's convinced them of that he definitely has not convinced us of?
Maybe committees, they're going to be the heads of specific committeeships. That was a promise. Something like that, I'm betting.
Well, do you think McCarthy knows, John, that if he double-crosses Jordan, Jordan will go after him with a vengeance?
Pastor Ernie, it is so ugly. It is so cutthroat. It is so the politics in there. Who knows anymore, Pastor Ernie? All I know is if someone really, good like Jim Jordan has been, if he runs for the Speaker of the House, there are the compromised ones here, like my Congressman Crenshaw from Texas. He's not going to vote. He's already said incredible derogatory things about Jim Jordan. I mean, basically, he's a flake. He's weird. He's wears a tin hat, all sorts of, nasty stuff. So there's probably, a dozen like him in there, maybe more. So they won't vote for him. So I don't know who they're going to get, Pastor Ernie. But it can't be McCarthy. No, it can't be. It just cannot be him.
What about Louie Gohmert? Louie Gohmert, everybody seems to like Louie Gohmert.
Based on, he's been in there for a number of years, and my understanding of him and all, yeah, I think he'd be really good.
Yeah, I do too. All righty. Massachusetts governor says D.C.'s inability, D.C.'s inability to stop influx of migrants will cost his state $139 million. What's wrong with that? He thinks that Washington, D.C. has an inability to stop it? Doesn't he understand that's their goal is to bring in as many? By the way, did you see now they've caught well over 100 known terrorists on the terrorist list, over 100 known terrorists. So if they've caught 100 known terrorists, John, what does that tell you about how many are there?
Oh, it's 10 or 20 to 1 for everyone they catch, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
And what I've been noticing on the border, as I've been following this, they're constantly arresting pedophiles coming in, constantly, Pastor Ernie.
Well, the entire Democratic Party, if you tell me that you're a registered Democrat, let's just say I meet somebody out there and just say in the public, and they say, that I'm a registered Democrat, what I'm going to consider is the fact they're probably a pedophilia, okay, or at least homosexual, okay, and more than likely a pedophile, because the party is flush with pedophilia. And so,
Pastor Ernie, and don't forget the mutilating of the little children. That party is for, little children, 5 years old, kindergarten kids. They want to have them have sex operations. So this party, look, the Republicans in many instances aren't any bargain. But the Republican Party from one end to the other is rotten. Anybody that stays in there. Pastor Ernie, did you see and I can't, I don't have the name in front of me right now, but that real high-end department store.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Little kids.
Yeah. That's the one they do all that business over the internet. Yeah.
I mean, high-end, like $1,000 tennis shoes and $500 shirts.
Gucci and purses and so on, yeah.
And I can't think of it's got a weird name. Anyways, in their advertising, they had at least two, I understand it's more, but what I saw was two little girls, probably, I'd say no more than three, and they had them in this sexual bondage stuff that sadomasochists wear.
Well, that's what Democrats do.
Yeah, and no one seemed to be enraged about it except people like us, Pastor Ernie. And then they turned out that WEF, the World Economic Forum there, they were owners of it.
Well, what are the odds, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense, huh? All righty, you have an article there.
Yeah, it kind of fits in with the children, but it's pretty ironic. Okay, the American Academy of Pediatrics claims kids can consent to mastectomies and gender surgeries, but not tattoos. So it's a pediatrician, Dr. Cora Bruner, put forward the argument that children cannot consent when it comes to permanent markings on their bodies. And she wants to make laws against it, but she's also an official with AAP, which is an organization that endorses children being allowed to access. They can agree to gender-affirming medications and surgeries, and they've even suppressed doctors who go against the grain and challenge these interventions. So this is like a hardcore trans person.
Such a very high percentage of those people that have been mutilated now are crying the blues, wishing they hadn't.
Yeah.
They want to pass legislation to make it stop it because, in fact, we have some articles here where one of the women who had her breast removed and she had something like, I don't know how many, several hundred injections of testosterone to turn her into a man. And she said it's the worst thing that she ever did. She can't believe that she ever was convinced to do such a thing, that she was not. And she said there's no undoing it now. And, that's what you have.
Yeah, it goes beyond buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's permanent.
But you know what, John? Here, you know what we were just talking about there. Stereotypical subpar. Voters demand new Republican tough guys in Congress, okay? Very clear they want to see more assertive leadership from the GOP. It's an article by Bronson Winslow from the Daily Caller. And Balenciaga is what you're thinking about, John, Balenciaga.
Yeah, that's the name of the place.
Yeah, and anyhow, so here... You've got, with midterm elections, we're far closer than pre-midterm projections, with most pollsters predicting Republicans would take 20 to 25 to 255 seats. Hang tight. We're going to pick this up on the other side. We'll be right back with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager. As you know, the culmination of my life's work has been writing my Rational Bible Commentary series. I have done Genesis, Exodus, and the just-released Deuteronomy. They are all called the Rational Bible because my approach is entirely reason-based. My motto is, if it doesn't make sense, I don't accept it. If you look up the 5,000 reviews on my Rational Bible volumes, you will see how many lives I have changed. Whether you are a Jew, a Christian, an atheist, or a member of some other religion, it doesn't matter. This speaks to your mind and your heart in explaining the most important books ever written, the Rational Bible. The latest is Deuteronomy, the most quoted book of the nation's founders. So if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift, even for someone with no faith, in fact especially, I recommend giving them my Rational Bibles. Go to PragerStore.com. You can buy them individually or as a complete set. All Rational Bibles sold in the Prager Store are autographed by me. Go to PragerStore.com. That's PragerStore.com, or click the banner on my website.